Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome, everyone, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. The gang is all here. It's Scotty Villa, Monday Night Mike, UK Tom. Everyone showed up for work today. How's everybody doing?
Fuck you. Fuck you both.
Hey, well, I got nothing. I got nothing. I said enough last week.
Yeah, I said a lot. Last just week. The hottest 10 minutes opening I've ever seen. Just buried.
That was a great.
I think my personal favorite is still two guys and a bitch.
There was not supposed to be a Tuesday pod, but it was too much happening that there had to be one. So I made plans, but I did laugh because I was uploading it, and I was with the lady at the time. She was over, and I was just like, fucking just cooked on this podcast. I said it just comes with this territory. You're not there, you're getting crushed.
It was
thank you to the In My House faithful who told me what fucking song that was that Rene Dupree came out to, because it was driving me crazy. So thank you very much to all of the people that told me who it was.
Which is also like a nice reminder of how many listeners we do have, because we got a lot of responses, whether it was through our social at In My House Pod, if you know Tom, myself, somewhat directly via social media, whatever it may be. We got a lot of responses from people that were at that show, letting Tom know what that song was. So big thanks to all the listeners out there. Very much appreciated.
A lot of Tragically Hip fans.
I was right, though. I said it was a song that everybody knew, and everybody knows that song.
Yeah, it's CanCon. We have to know it.
It has to play.
Yeah, we got to play at least 30%.
I remember that it was Tragically Hip, but I've forgotten the song again. You don't know what it was.
You don't remember what it is right now.
I have no idea. Great Canadian bands like Cereal Joe and their song Mistake. Or Age of Electric's Remote Control. Why don't you go? Real fucking Canadian bands.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
For the people,
do you have your citizenship, Tom? Because if you do, it's gone.
You know how much that fucking costs to do that stupid test?
How much?
$800.
Welcome to Canada, baby.
Like, I'll just bend over at the same time.
Now we know Tom's limit.
Yeah, that's it. $800.
Hey, routine.
So the song was Tragically Hip's Blow It High Low. That was the song that's from it. Last week that Tom was referencing that Rene Dupree came out at the CWE show. So
And blow it did, and still does.
Got it.
What didn't blow though was last night's Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, Mike, who's your favorite wrestler?
Hey guys, I don't know if you know, but Roman Reigns is the greatest professional wrestler.
So a little bit of backstory. Today at work, in the group chat, Mike hits us up. Roman Reigns is my favorite wrestler. And I stopped in my tracks. And I'm like, that makes sense. I have no issue with that. We saw Roman return at the end of Monday Night Raw last night, taking Seth Rollins out of the cage, giving him a beatdown outside, gave him the stomp outside, which I loved. Absolutely loved Roman stomp.
You think that looked great? Didn't look right.
I didn't say it looked great. I just said I loved that it happened. So, and then we get Roman back in a little bit jealous because Paulie was checking on CM Punk inside the steel cage there. And they're in Madison Square Garden, the heart of professional wrestling in New York City. Roman gets a massive pop, which is awesome. And I feel like it kind of just leads to this conversation of Roman Reigns is the biggest star in pro wrestling right now. And he has been for the last 3-4 years. Everyone's acknowledging him. Mike, what made you want to text that? What made you want to text us that Roman Reigns is your favorite wrestler?
You know what it was, guys? It was Seth Rollins and CM Punk wrestling again on Monday Night Raw, where I was like, huh, I'm just not that into it. Not to say the match was bad, just wasn't that into it. And I know that's where the story is going, but boy, did I ever pop when old wet hair, my number one, pulled Seth Rollins out of the cage. You know what? Delivered a pretty good Superman punch and not a bad spear.
The spear looked good.
Yeah, I was very impressed. But then to go in and then get after Punk as well, I'm like, well, goddamn Roman Reigns. Getting two birds stoned at once. Love to see it. Love to see it. I think this was a good raw. I probably should have actually turned it on today with my day off, but you know me, in 11 minutes I got the whole thing.
That's what she's...
there's some segments I watched all of. 11 minutes is a fine time.
Yeah, that's not what she said.
Not if you're doing your job right. This was a good building raw for Mania, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like this was a big kickoff.
Yeah, it felt good to be like, okay, this is a Mania season raw. Still not good enough to watch 3 fucking hours. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I think it's pretty clear cut that triple threat is going to be at Mania.
Oh, that's going to be great too.
Yeah, I for it as well. It's great star power in a triple threat. Unless that favor, whatever this CM Punk favor is, that's going to come back into play.
Oh, I have a rough idea how that's going to go.
Okay, well, favor, with it.
Hold on. Do you think the favor is coming in within this storyline right now before Mania? Because I just feel like it's going to get shoehorned in. Tom, really? Okay, what do you got for us?
So Roman wants Seth at Mania. So that, I believe, will originally be announced as a one-on-one. And then old Pepsi Phil uses his favor with Heyman to get added to make it the triple threat so he can get his hands on both of them. And then it doesn't have to lead to some sort of title match. It leads to a huge match at WrestleMania. So the favor was kind of used for a big deal, but not the biggest. But yeah, I just think it's going to get announced as a singles, and then old Pepsi Phil gets added.
I'm good with that if it's the main event for night one. Other than that, it's
so fuck Jey Uso. I think that's an opener.
Jey and Gunther are opening to get the crowd going with the Yeats.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
On night one?
Night one.
I think either night could work, but I do like that. I want that favor to be something that to get Punk to something that he's never done before, which is main event to WrestleMania or get a title match at WrestleMania or a title match down the line. He's never been the the real WWE champion where the focus was solely on him. He's never been the world heavyweight champion because that title was just created a couple months ago or a year ago or whatever it was. Just to get onto the Mania card, I feel like is a kind of a waste of a favor, in my opinion.
It's not to get on the Mania card. It's to get his hands on Roman and Seth.
Yeah, but I feel like,
but they're not going to say to get on the Mania card.
I feel like he could do that like next week on Raw if he really wanted to, right? Like, I just feel like
we're not going to see Roman again before Mania.
Yeah, we will.
I think we'll see him a few times in the next few weeks overseas. I think he's going to show up.
I think they're pulling out all stops overseas.
Yeah.
For sure they are.
Is he going to get on that flight?
Yes.
It's a private jet. He'll be fine. Him and Paulie and Paul and New Jack's biggest fan, Nick Khan, they'll all get on the plane and flying over to Brussels. But yeah, I don't hate it. I just feel like if the favor's kind of been built up, whether that's just our own perceptions.
It is.
It definitely is. I just feel like there's a little bit more that he can use that favor to get something bigger than instead of just a match with Roman and Seth. But I won't hate it either. If it happens, I'm like, fuck yeah, Tom called it. I'm all in. I'm very excited about this program with these three and could easily be a main event of night one. Easily.
Now, one thing I found interesting is we got two wildly different both fantastic steel cage matches within a 24-hour period this weekend. One from AEW, one from WWE. Very, very different matches.
Yeah.
But I thought Punk and Seth on Raw had a fantastic wrestling steel cage match. It was very, very enjoyable. I did not expect CM Punk to be suplexed off the top of the cage.
Hell of a bump.
But I only watched two matches from the AEW pay-per-view this weekend. One of them was Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher in the cage. And my God, what a spot fest that was in the best way possible. I mean, Kyle Fletcher taking a Styles Clash into the tacks and getting thumbtacks all up in his junk. yeah, that probably should have been the finish. Probably should. Also, I think Kyle should have won, but that's just me. What do you think of the Punk and Seth on Raw, Scott?
I loved it.
And Mike.
Yeah, for me, it was what I'd hoped for. I do like the cage being used more as a weapon instead of just being the surrounding of the ring so nobody can get in or get out. I did like Seth powerbombing him into the cage a couple times. I thought that looked vicious. Even my wife was like, geez, goddamn. She was a little like, holy smokes. So it's doing its job there, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. I would have liked to see some color. You were asking last night on Twitter, Tom.
Yeah, no
color in the cage, but I feel like with the amount of blood that we saw on AEW, might have been like, man, that's maybe we'll stay away from it.
If that match didn't happen in New York, do you think we would have got color?
Oh, true. I never even thought about that.
No.
Don't think so?
Not on Raw.
Nah.
Not on Raw.
There's been color on Raw recently.
Yeah, I mean, they're not using that. It's a big match feel.
Why did Netflix censor middle fingers? I didn't quite understand
that. I'm not too sure either. I'm a little bit baffled by that too. But I think the product is still rated PG. Even though it's on Netflix, there's still ratings involved.
So I think it is, but I'm a little surprised that they give a fuck.
I mean, the replay of Elimination Chamber is censoring the go fuck yourself, right? Like, that's one of those moments. Yeah, if you watch that back, that's now censored. But I think it's more of that special thing, right? Like, and it really did help that moment with Cody and Rock.
Yeah.
That it came out of nowhere, right? Like, let's not beat it into the ground and you're AEW.
True. But like even right? last night's match, I thought it helped Punk and Seth even more with them giving the finger, because I know I shouldn't worry about this as a fan and it has nothing to do with anything, but there's a couple times where they're going back and forth and they're saying fuck you and calling each other motherfuckers and giving each other finger. I'm like, these guys still really fucking hate each other. Like, they still dislike each other quite a bit. So I think it added.
Still real to me, damn it.
It's still real to me, damn it. So I think it helped. We got to remember, though, in the States, there's different tiers of Netflix where they're still playing commercials and there's still sponsors to report to, and they have to answer to when it comes to being a PG rated product. So I believe that's why they still try to censor that, or they're maybe trying to soften the things because they did go pretty hard with a hard F at the Elimination Chamber. Maybe they're trying to soften things a bit. Who knows? We'll never know the answer, but I do find it weird as well. I enjoyed the cage match a lot. I love the fact that we got a big superplex. It's my favorite plex. And Punk taking that looked awesome. And I love the finish. I love Roman coming out. I'm not going to lie. I didn't see it coming until 2 seconds before, right before the crowd started cheering, where you see Seth leaning on the ropes by the door. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, man, is this where Roman comes back? And then it happened. I was like, fuck yeah. So I pop big. Mike, in your, what'd you get, 6-5 minutes of this match? What'd you think?
It wasn't worth going back to watch the whole thing.
I beg to differ. I thought it was a good match. I think it's go to your it way to watch good. It.
I mean, Pepsi Phil's involved. I think you're always going to be leaning towards like, oh, that's pretty goddamn good.
I do like the Pepsi Phil.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, giving the cage to the Garden. It's like the homage of the old days. It's fine. Roman would be the reason I'd still sit through that match just to see him pull Seth out of the cage again and be back on television. I will acknowledge him forever. The man who didn't let Cody finish his story at WrestleMania 39. The greatest day in professional wrestling.
We don't need to take these shots. We don't.
We do.
No,
we do.
I don't think we do. Cody is the world champion. He defeated Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40 in the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Did it all by himself. And it was one of the greatest moments in WWE history.
I will say, for the UK Toms of the world who want more people to wrestle in 2025, it was pretty nice to see top tier talent like that wrestling on a Monday Night Raw.
Agreed.
And in a match like that, right? Like,
as they should be.
I will give you that. And I think, yeah, sure, it's going to help storyline for Mania, which I'm excited about, because I am excited for that triple threat. Like, I think that's something to look forward to for this year's WrestleMania big time. But I don't know. Like, it doesn't feel like the heat's on in that kind of match, right?
Speaking of triple threats, what do we think of the build for Bianca and Io and Rhea on Monday Night Raw?
Guys, guess what? That was my favorite part of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I loved
that. Was my favorite part of Monday Night Raw.
I loved Io being like, fuck you, you're not pushing me in a corner.
Those slaps, wake up, bitches. Yeah. like, I'm the champion. It's good. Like, the first time Rhea pushes her face, right? Like, pushes her away. I'm like, oh, and the crowd response to that was so good and so genuine. I was perfect. Like, this segment fucking rules. And great heat between Bianca and Rhea. Yeah. Like, that was a great exchange. I thought dynamite promo. Like, really, really good.
I also thought that Cody delivered us another very, very good promo on Raw last night.
I can't really talk shit about the Cody promo. It was pretty good. All right. We don't need the PWI.
Put Scott, it away. I'm going to stick that so far up your fucking
ass. But you could have just like said like it was a fine promo. Like, it's not to say the guy's great. Let's get him back to getting his ass whooped and slapped around by Travis Scott, The Rock, and Cena.
I got another
month, 2 months worth of Cody getting beat the fuck down, which I'm pumped for.
Hey, like I said, they can just bring in another rapper that I don't know who they are to beat up Cody.
Sure. You want the Costco guys?
Signed to AEW. Because, you know, that's what that roster needs right now.
Cody just proving over that he is that guy in the company. It's true. Like, that promo really just helps solidify that too. Like, talking about the 17, like, it was a good promo.
I think we also have to make mention to perhaps my favorite part of Raw last night, which was the little bit of goofiness that we got from Chad Gable. But I love that. I loved that little segment where he came out of the crowd and hit the Hurricane Rana off the barrier and then ran away. And then he was like, it wasn't me.
And then perfectly done.
Somebody walking away, being walked away by the cops.
Did At very first, did you think for a second it was Ray Phoenix at the very beginning?
No.
I did. I was like, oh, it could be Ray, but then you saw the stars and the stripes on the mask a little bit more. I was like, oh, that's Chad Gable, and this is a lot of fun. Hitting everybody with the big gracias before he got pulled away.
Oh, I laughed my ass off. That was that guy, if booked right, could be a huge part of the upper mid card future of WWE.
I think so.
I think this is kind of it right here. Like, yeah. I think it's showing. Like, that's a Mania match.
But, like, you also, like, Kurt Angle, he was one of the best of all time, and he was never always that serious. So, like, he had his comedy moments, and it worked for him.
He had plenty of comedy moments, and blending, it got him over even more.
It's blending the show, right? Like, there's room for both, especially in, like, in Mania season. It's nice to have everything not be so serious. So, like, I'm excited to see who it's going to end up being at Mania, because it's guaranteed that Chad Gable's getting a spot on the Mania card.
I think
we
know who
nights.
It is.
It's got to be Penta,
Scotty,
right?
Mentioned them. I think Scotty just mentioned them.
You think it's going
to... I think it's Ray Phoenix.
No, not with the push Penta has.
Well, then it's Chad Gable.
You don't have that much time.
Chad Gable, the Creeds against... Ray Phoenix against Rey Mysterio, Penta, and a surprise partner, which is Ray Phoenix.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
That's a match I want to see. Definitely don't hate that.
Then it gets Gable and the Creed. Fuck me.
Wow.
It gets American made on the card.
You may as well have not shown up for work.
Those people will be on WrestleMania.
Oh, easy with those
people. That's
the way
to phrase
comment.
It.
Oh, I shouldn't be saying those people.
Leave it in.
Oh, you're about to get Don Cherry.
I'd like to move away from this topic. How quickly he's just like, no, yeah, Chad Gable, what a star.
I'm going to stop talking about him.
I do want to go back to how you kind of, we all kind of got into this topic, because you did bring up the steel cage match on Monday Night Raw up against the steel cage match of AEW. You said you watched that match. I followed along on Twitter. I've seen, I think, every big moment and big spot from that match on Twitter. How did you like the match? Like, it's a pretty wild match. There's some hell of a bumps there.
I mean, I loved it. That's my sort of shit.
Yeah.
Ospreay looked great, and there was a spot in there where he realized he couldn't do his usual shit because of the cage, and then they worked that. I mean, it's AEW, so they worked it for like 4 minutes and then forgot about it. But I thought it was great, and the Spanish fly off the top of the cage was absolutely insane.
That's my favorite thing right now on the internet, is seeing different angles of the Spanish fly off the top of the cage, because it looks so much more violent from people's cell phones compared to just like the camera angles that we get. It just looks like such a brutal move.
And one thing I thought was absolutely fantastic was the start of the match, where Ospreay stood on the top of one side of the cage, Kyle Fletcher stood up on top of the other, and it just looked fantastic. And I mean, I know those guys were going to go fucking hard on each other, and it was always going to be great, but I wasn't expecting it to get kind of as hardcore as it did. I was expecting just a kind of standard crazy cage match. So I was very happy to see they got a little bit crazy. Speaking of crazy, the other match I watched on AEW was Mariah May versus Toni Storm in the Hollywood Ending match. And the match itself was absolutely fantastic. But the reaction to the match on Twitter has got me a little bit fired up.
Well, go on. And, you're all fired up here. Don't let us hold you back.
Yeah. The idiots on Twitter that are like, women shouldn't be blading and all this, and they shouldn't be competing in matches. Fuck you. Just go sit and swivel, you fucking assholes. Like, it's and the one that gets me the most is, they shouldn't be bleeding like that. It's not sexy. Like, fuck off. We've moved past that. Like,
they shouldn't be bleeding like that. It's not sexy.
Yeah. Ugh. Like,
going to be an eye opener when they learn about menstruation cycles, man.
Yeah.
This is fucking nerds. Like, well, women have the goddamn right.
I mean, most AEW fans are never going to get close enough to a woman to know anything about that anyway.
I think, but Tom's point is good. I'm all for anybody in professional wrestling bleeding if it adds to it. And this sure as fuck looked like it did. And although Scotty V of WWE 2K25 fame, Scott Alexander's out there. Fun fact, mixed tag matches, which you can have, or mixed matches, which you can have in WWE 2K25, will always default the blood to off.
Interesting.
When you're playing those matches.
Which is wild because women do bleed in that game.
They do when it's a woman versus a woman, but okay. Not a man versus a woman.
There's your fun fact for the
and
week.
And I say, there. You guys should watch GCW. You don't give a fuck who you are.
Well, and the other thing is, all these idiots that are like Tony Storm and they shouldn't be bleeding. I'm like, I guarantee you, Tony Storm would kick the living fuck out of you.
I have dreams about it.
I thought that was Rhea.
He's got more than one dream.
More than Rhea? Yeah, exactly. Tell me how I have to dream.
Well, you have to add Nia Jax to that.
Sure.
I mean,
I get offended by, or I shouldn't say offended, but it baffles my head that people will say this stuff, and I guarantee you they would never blade themselves if they were ever attempting to be a pro wrestler. And it's just weird. Like, they're not there to be sexy for you. They're there to do their job. That's it.
That's an eye-opening statement for a lot of people. What do you mean they're not there to be sexy for me? All this athleticism.
If that's the attire that they're choosing to wear, that's what they want to wear for their character and for how they feel comfortable with how they look with being that character. They're not there to be sexy for you. If it makes that person feel sexy, that's fine. That's how it makes them feel. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you as the viewer. Got some issues.
I love what you're saying, but like, you won't ever break that fandom because of the internet.
No,
it's like it's fucking, it's crazy. Cause I mean, let's get real. We're the most negative podcast on the internet. No,
sorry.
I thought so, but it, the wrestling fan, like, it's weird. Cause like, UK Tom is on Twitter. Like, he is my tap into the internet wrestling community. I usually stay away from it. Unless some people like Vince McMahon Googling, like, I'll dabble in Vince McMahon Googling, like joke accounts like that. I'm all for, but fans really do take it that serious. Right. Like, and as much as we're doing a podcast, like, a part of that's entertainment as well. Like, at the end of the day, I know their fucking company, like, it's their entertainment to make. You're not going to make everyone happy, but that's no different than movies or video games or whatever. Like, people always, like, it's the cool thing now is to just like hate it no matter what, like, just to assume it's going to be bad. Like, you see that more than ever too. It's just like, the scene to turn happened and people were excited. Now they're like, I think it's going to be dog shit. You're like, I don't know, man. Like, that really got people. I think it's really good. Like, and like you said, we also say it's a know-it-alls, right? So like, I knew it was going to turn heel. I'm like, no, you fucking didn't. And it's cool that you didn't. Like, we were all like, I was shocked when they turned him heel.
Yeah.
But it's also, this come back down. Like, we can rant for another like hour about how people on the internet are like shitty. Well, but like,
another point I have is, one of the best and most violent bloody matches I've seen in the last 12 months, and it's a match that I made you watch, Mike. And I think you watched it too, Scott. I'm pretty sure you did.
I double downed.
And
it was absolutely great.
Mance Warner versus Masha Slamovic.
Oh, yes, I watched
at GCW
that.
GCW Take Care in Seattle.
It's fucking incredible.
These two wrestlers, regardless of gender, beat the living fuck out of each other for 30 minutes.
They did.
It was fantastic.
Loved it.
And I was a little uncomfortable.
Showed the lady.
I was a little uncomfortable. There,
Get out of here, man.
I can't explain why. I don't know why, but I'm pretty sure when Mance Warner picks up a chunk of table and lays into Masha Slamovich with a shot, and she's on her knees. It is violent, and I don't know why, but it bothered me. I watched the entire match. I love the fact that they just went out and wrestled a hardcore style death match, whatever you want to call it. Love that. I will never take that away from anybody. For me, it was a little uncomfortable.
Like you're taking it away.
I'm not. Uncomfortable. No, women shouldn't bleed,
right?
It's my issue.
Right, Scotty? Scotty's in the women shouldn't bleed.
It's my issue. And I finished the match and I was just like, holy fuck, that was violent. But like in a wrestling way, it's not like a actual domestic violence assault in real life.
No.
This is pro wrestling. And this is what Masha Slamovich and Mance Warner planned to do in their match. And they executed it how they wanted to do it. I was just like, oh, I don't like watching that. So it's my issue. It's not theirs.
I would say that Masha Slamovich was actually more violent in that match than Mance Warner was.
Can't wait to have my Masha Slamovich dream.
Well, there we go. And now and that leads nicely into what we've got going on this weekend. What are you, Tony Atlas?
Let me live.
This weekend, we've got to... Oh, fuck. You're not wearing a shirt with the arms cut off so for the gun show. So can't say that.
Sorry, go
anyway,
on. You were
this weekend. The boys are getting together to watch GCW again.
Yeah,
and a little bit different this time, fellas. It's not a show in New York. It's a show in New Jersey, and shit's gonna get violent.
Love that.
And
Tony's gonna feel uncomfortable.
I was just about to say, you sent a reminder. We were chatting the other day. It was over the weekend, and I was like, oh man, Tom said this one's gonna be a little bit more hardcore death matchy than the last show we watched with you. And then it hit me. I'm like, oh yeah, there's intergender matches, which is great, but it's not New York anymore. And it brought me back to Mance versus Masha. And I was like, oh man,
which is awesome. Which is just fucking awesome.
And I'm all in to watch it. I'm all in because I haven't seen like real death match wrestling since the, you know, CZW tape trading days back in the day when the internet was really booming kind of thing. Right. So I've never watched one live or in real time, so I'm very, very excited for it. I guess there's going to be some times where I'm just like, this is uncomfortable, but I'm going to watch it, and it's my issue, not the wrestlers.
I can almost guarantee you. So there, I know. So for the listeners, when the guys come to watch GCW with me, I don't tell them anything about the show. But one thing I will say is there's one match, and I'll tell you one of the guys in it, and it's the one that's going to be the most violent. You remember Dr. Redacted from the show in the Hammerstein that you watched?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's one of the craziest deathmatch wrestlers there is these days, and he is facing the other craziest deathmatch wrestler, who I'm not going to tell you who it is because you haven't seen them yet. And
interesting.
I'm a little concerned about that one.
I hope it's Spike Dudley.
Is it Spike Dudley?
That would be awesome.
Does he still work even indies anymore, Spike? I know he does conventions to signings, but
he's back to being a school teacher again. He hasn't had a match in a very long time.
Okay, well, he's earned his right to call it a day.
If any promotion's going to make it happen, it's going to be GCW.
It's true.
Is that dipshit Charles Mason going to be on the show?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember, but
we can only hope not.
A match that's been announced for one of the GCW shows at WrestleMania weekend that massively has intrigued me is Minoru Suzuki is going to wrestle Butterbean.
Jesus Christ.
Like, wasn't it, Scotty? Didn't you say Butterbean just learned how to walk again?
Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page just it put a ton of time into getting Butterbean to walk upright for the first time in like 30 years. What is he doing?
He got him quasi-modified.
And now and now he's gonna get killed by Minoru Suzuki.
If I was DDP, I'd be fucking pissed. I'd be fucking pissed, bro.
If I was DDP, I'd be pissed anyway.
I just knowing what we maybe, I guess it's an assumption. I don't know anything, but I assume Minoru Suzuki is extremely educated and smart when it comes to wrestling matches and booking matches and building matches. And I'm going to assume, because I don't like this match being announced, I'm going to assume Minoru has thought this through, laid out a really good plan to be like, here's how I can keep you safe so you won't get injured again and won't injure yourself further than you are right now. That's my hope.
Nah.
All right.
And you know me. I'm always hoping for my Randy the Ram moment. So
I'm genuinely worried that you might get your Butterbean moment here.
Fans always say it. They're like, wow, like, why don't you care about the boys in the business? I do. I care so much that I want the boys to go out like Randy the Ram. Have you seen the wrestler? That's how you go out. From the top, fade to black, baby. Holy shit. Should have been Ric Flair's last match. Yeah. Oh, wrestling's shit. Fun.
Wrestling is the best. I love it so much. I'm actually very excited to watch NXT this week. I'm very, very curious to see how AEW follows up Revolution this week. SmackDown's going to be a really fun show. The Hardy Boys are on NXT this week, which is so much fun. And then you got the double championship match between Stephanie Vaquer and Julia. So big things are happening, and they're doing it in one of the theaters in Madison Square Garden. So it could be a really, really fun show. So let us know what you guys think about all the shows that you're watching this week. And if you hit up some local wrestling, hit us up as well on the socials at In My House Pod. You'll find us there. Guys, it's been a good week. It's been real, real fun. We're on the road to WrestleMania after Monday Night Raw. Very, very excited. Next week, by the way, WWE goes on the road. They're going overseas. So starting on Monday in our time zone, which is Saskatchewan, Monday Night Raw is live on Netflix at 1 p.m. Eastern time zone, that's 3 p.m. They're showing it live as it's airing because I believe it's in Belgium on Monday. Yeah. So for the next 3 weeks, Raw and SmackDown are going to be airing live on Netflix in the middle of the afternoon, which is awesome. So great. Have fun with that.
Great news. That recap will be up way earlier.
Side note, also next Monday is the first face-off between Cody and John Cena. Monday Night Raw next week. So I cannot wait. Fellas, the timer has run out. We've got to go. It's been a fun show, boys.
Always is.
Yeah, whatever.
It's been the Miles for Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.